Welcome to Three in the Key.
No, not really. I don't believe I've played for a super team. I don't believe in that. I believe we're a super team here. So, no, I don't.
Bringing you in-depth basketball analysis and interviews from the Great White North.
They want to talk about super teams this, super team that. I never played on a super team. You started the super team, bro.
With your hosts, Elias Elzane, Will Macklin, and Dave the Professor Tripp.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Three in the Key. Elias Elzane alongside Will Macklin.
Yes, sir.
Dave Tripp.
Uh-oh.
Wow, the professor.
Okay, well, that's fine. At least we have someone else. At least we got our man.
Yeah, Fuad Ahad, what's up?
What's going on? Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me, Will?
This is crazy. We have four people on this freaking podcast and we're 2 for 4 today.
That's 50% from the field.
Oh, man. That's not a solid percentage here on our pod. Is it because they just don't like us anymore?
You know, I heard rumors that, you know, one's frustrated with the coaching. The other one is frustrated with he hasn't received a contract extension yet.
He better not be making a super podcast with some other.
Maybe going to team up with someone else.
Super podcast.
Super pod.
And then we'll just be hanging out. Just having a good season, but like can't get out of the first round or something.
No, we'll always be champions. Will. They're away this week.
Oh man!
So we'll take care of business here on the pod for
sure. We've
done it before many times.
Yeah, we can do this.
Hold down. We just change our name to like Two in the Key or Give and Go or Pick and Roll.
The same ring, but you know what I mean? Speaking of Three in the Key, though, Three in the Key happened in Game 5. I don't know if you remember that. There was a three in the key call violation in Game 5.
They were giving us a shout out.
That's what I thought.
I'm like, oh my God.
That was for us.
It was for us.
I can't believe that happened. It was amazing.
It was amazing. Excuse me for my voice, people.
Yeah, man, you are.
Yeah, I was
dusted.
A little bit. My voice, you know, is a little raspy.
Yeah.
I was in Montreal yesterday cheering on my homie Matar, a.k.a. The Mantis, who won his professional MMA fight.
That's right. First one.
Yesterday's first W. 1-1.
Big
just
LeBron
the beginning
guy.
Of his career. Yeah, huge LeBron fan. But, you know, we look past that. I've been knowing him for a while, so shouts out to him for picking up that big win.
Big W.
And that's why my voice is a little off. GSP was in the building as well yesterday.
Yeah, you met him. Did you meet him or just saw him?
No, I saw him. He was a little far from me.
He was busy, huh?
He was busy cornering a guy, so I thought, like, I'm not going to go bother him.
That's pretty cool, though. I don't know. See GSP in person.
Yeah,
good.
And apparently he's going to come back to fighting or something. But
yeah,
that's,
I think they're doing a triple threat. Mayweather, McGregor, and him.
That would be crazy.
It was about time that happened.
Yeah. Remember, you can get a hold of us by email, thethreenikki@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at @threenikki. Follow on Twitter at @basketpod. On Instagram at @TheThreeNikki, and you can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, and of course on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, Radio Network, and Dash Radio. And you can hear us here locally in Ottawa on Sunday night at 7 o'clock on CKDJ 107.9. We've moved up an hour.
Yeah, we're on 7. I don't know if that's a better spot, but we'll see. It feels good, though, regardless.
It does feel good. Make sure and rate and review us on iTunes and Google Play as well, and check out our website, 3Nikki.ca. Today's program, the NBA has finally wrapped up. Not finally, I'm sad that it wrapped up, honestly, obviously.
Obviously.
But it has. It's come to an end, Will. We'll talk about the finals and the season in a whole. Super teams has been the discussion since the NBA has wrapped up in Game 5 of the finals.
Super teams has been discussion for now, what, since
for
5 years?
For a couple years, yeah. But, you know, this year it seemed like it took a different toll on the league. And later we'll be joined by Keith Smith of Real GM FanRag Sports Celtics blog, and he also hosts the NBA front office show on the Almighty Baller Radio Network.
Yeah, he's pretty loaded. He's got a lot of jobs.
A lot of things going on for him. So we'll talk off season for a couple of teams. Boston and Philly are talking about trading picks. So we'll get its take on that.
That's crazy. I don't know. Fultz maybe is working out with the Sixers.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. And we'll wrap up with the draft. The professor, I think, might make an appearance, actually,
yeah,
after all.
He does make a cameo here.
I think he does make a cameo. We'll start with the NBA Finals, Will. Warriors 1-5. I believe I called that.
You did. I think it was either sweep or five. A lot of people were calling it.
I didn't think it was going to happen because I thought Cleveland would have won game three.
They should have won game three.
Yeah, but they lost that game, and then they played a perfect game in game four, and then they got beat in game five. What did you think of the series as a whole? And, you know, finals MVP for KD, I don't think that's anyone's arguing that one.
No, I don't think so either. I thought it was a great series, regardless of it being a five-game one. I thought every game, I was still excited by every possession. You know, like the first quarter of every game was, the energy was amazing, and I enjoyed it a lot. Obviously, I wasn't here last week to talk the first couple games with you guys, but the game four when the Cavs, the only way they could beat this Warriors team was to essentially break records and play lights out and score in bunches, essentially how the Warriors play. And at game five, they just could not replicate that. And I thought it was good. I was happy to see KD get his win and get his championship. I have no problem with the idea of a super team. And for them going forward, I think looking at this team right now, I think they can win the next three. So that's
yeah, depending what the rest of the NBA does, how
they
update their rosters. Cleveland obviously is going to be a team where they're going to look to add someone or something to their roster because, you know, once you have LeBron James entering the last year of his contract here,
right,
you wanna challenge for the championship, obviously, every single year. And out of the East, you know, the whole argument of the East being weak and how they cakewalked it the past 2 years, especially.
Yeah.
Past 3 years, even since he came back to Cleveland, it hasn't been really much of a challenge for him to get to the NBA Finals. So they're going to be interesting to see in the summer. But what do you think of... I mean, look, in the Finals, KD averaged 35 points, 8 boards, like 5 assists, a steal, 1.6 blocks. He shot 50, 40, 90.
Yep.
Over all those, over 55 even from the field goal percentage, 47 from deep, which is amazing. That's almost 50% from downtown. That's
right.
Crazy.
That is crazy.
92% from the free throw line. And Curry, who was injured in last year's final, you know, a lot of people said that's why he didn't play well. And the first final, he wasn't really good either. You know, Iguodala taking that first finals MVP. But he was really good in the final as a sidekick to Kevin Durant.
Oh, for sure. And I
27 points, 8 rebounds, 9.4 assists, 2.2 steals, 44% from the field, 38 from deep, and 89 from the free throw line. I mean,
he could have been MVP.
He could have been. Well, KD put up way better numbers, but I understand what you're saying. And you said they could win for the next 3 years. So what is next for the NBA?
Before we get into the next NBA stuff, I want to say that this definitely does not tarnish LeBron James.
Oh, absolutely not.
And I know you say that because, like,
we bug you
for not liking him, but
I know
you from a respect standpoint, you're all in on this. And I think that's been the argument, too, when we're coming out of this series, is LeBron is 3-5 in the finals.
First MVP to lose 5 finals.
I mean, it looks like on paper, obviously, visually, it sucks. I mean, it's 35. That's the number of Durant, right? It's in his face.
Yeah.
But he got to the finals 8 times. He has been in the finals 8 times.
And 7 straight.
He averaged a triple-double in this finals.
First player to ever do it.
You know what? He's in the 14th season of his career. You know what Jordan was doing? Like, not playing well for the Wizards, you know? Like, it's pretty crazy. So it tarnishes his record for sure.
Yeah, it looks bad on paper, but the Jordan thing is that Jordan won in a shorter time, you know what
efficient.
I mean?
Efficient. Yeah, he was efficient.
He was 6-0. But LeBron, come on, man. You got to give the guy credit. 7 straight NBA finals. It hasn't been done since, what, like the 50s and 60s by those Celtics teams?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It looks bad on paper, you know, 3-5. But, you know, the Warriors, they geared up for it. They knew it was coming.
Another benefit of LeBron's kind of bag is where it comes to it took these guys. It took Durant. It took Klay Thompson. It took Curry. It took Draymond Green. It took Iguodala. It took Livingston. It took all these guys to
But they
beat.
Were just, yeah, it's true. They added Kevin Durant. That's right. All it took, right?
And all it took. But I mean, like,
they signed one free agent in KD, but, you know, the year before, 2 years ago, they beat him.
Yeah.
He didn't have no Kyrie after game one, and he had no Love.
They didn't have Love.
They lost in six, and then last year, they were one game away, the Warriors, from repeating, and then everyone knows they blew it up. They blew the lead, the 3-1 lead. LeBron was outstanding, led the finals in both teams in every single major category. So that was amazing to see as well. So it is crazy, but they just added KD, and it looks bad on LeBron, but the guy is still great. Honestly, right now, even if he still has this same team starting next year,
right.
I don't see anyone beating him. Or beating the Cavs and getting to the finals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you know LeBron James and how he runs that organization. He's going to add some firepower.
Well, you heard him after the game. He said, hey, we'll be here again next year. And he does have one more year in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Which can happen. Now, the rumors are there might be some switching around. Maybe the Cavs might want to trade Love for Paul George. That's something in the works. Maybe Carmelo might get bought out, and maybe he might go to Cleveland. Maybe CP might want to go to Cleveland. There's these things. Dwayne Wade might want to go to Cleveland.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to kind of fit those guys under the salary cap unless you do trades.
But these are all
things. But do you think if you do a... Listen, if I'm running the Pacers, much respect to Kevin Love. He's a great player, and he was a great player. He is a great player, and he played well. Not too well in the finals, because we're going to remember him for that game five where he didn't really show up, right?
Yeah, I know. But that's the thing is like he played better in these finals than he did last year, I think.
But would you want to trade Kevin Love for Paul George? Do you think that does it for you as Indiana?
I don't think it's enough to put him over the edge to beat this Warriors team.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think if you added a Paul George and you kept the K-Love...
Yeah,
I don't know how you would do that.
And the other thing is, too, I don't think the Pacers would want to trade, honestly.
Yeah, unless they're getting maybe Kyrie Irving back.
Or maybe, someone, a younger player. They want assets, man. They want picks, you know? They don't...
And Cleveland lacks that.
Exactly. They got rid of all those things.
So they're kind of in a tough position to kind of, you know, do something like that.
So that's what it brings to... Maybe they go to the finals again next year, and they lose again... to the Warriors, but that brings us up to 2018 offseason, where the rumors are flying with LeBron maybe going back west and going over there and maybe trying to do another super team in LA. The Clippers have been talked about and the Lakers have been talked about.
I think he would go to the Clippers depending on Chris Paul. Like if Chris Paul resigns with the Clippers... Now they got Jerry West, which was a
huge
move for probably their best move in franchise history, honestly.
That is. And Ballmer's got the money.
They just signed a new deal to build a new arena in Inglewood.
Oh, is it Inglewood? I was hoping they'd do it in Seattle. Really hoping Ballmer would move the team to Seattle. Because he's from Seattle, I thought.
Yeah, no, they're just going to Inglewood, not too far. So new arena, Jerry West, who's been able to get a lot of people to
sign as an advisor.
Exactly. So if Chris Paul resigns, maybe they resign also Blake Griffin, and next year they clear up some cap or something like that, and they bring in a LeBron James to the Clippers. Do you think that is a possibility? Because I don't know why he would want to go to the Lakers. They have a young team. They'd have to blow that up.
I don't think the Lakers is a possibility. I don't think there's not... I think.
But honestly, I don't think he even goes out west, because if he signs with any of the LA teams, you're going to have to play the Warriors four times in the regular season.
Yeah.
You're going to have to play the Spurs four times in the regular season. Houston four times in the regular season.
Right.
Talking like if these teams stay competitive, right? Like if they stay...
Well, of course.
Yeah. And it seems like they will. James Harden's there. You know, you got the Thunder, depending what they do with Russell. And then you're going to have to play playoff series against all like these teams before you even get to the Warriors in the West Final or the Spurs or whoever it may be. I mean, it gives someone else a chance in the East to get the finals, I guess, other than a LeBron James-led team. But
it looks like Boston's on the come up there. We'll talk about that more with our guests and, of course, even in the draft segment. But I know what you mean. Like, I don't think the Lakers seem sexy enough for him. We've seen it before where he didn't even want to play with Wiggins in Cleveland. You know, he wanted Love who was kind of like had more playing in, and he was an all-star in Minnesota. You know, it seems like he wants to play with established players,
superstars,
established stars.
Because you know, Kevin Love, his last 5 years in Minnesota, he averaged just under 22 points, mm-hmm. just under 13 boards, about 3 assists, and he was shooting at 37% from 3, 48% from 2, 81 at the line. So he was really, like, Kevin Love was really, everyone was like, oh, he just plays in Minnesota, doesn't really have the talent around them, this and that. And one of those years out of the 5, he only played 18 games, right? He was hurt. But they went out and, you know, traded Anthony Bennett and Wiggins and whatever else they attached in that deal to get a guy like Kevin Love, who, if they would have lost last year, would have definitely been traded. Now they lost this year, and it looks like he is the space goat, you know?
He's
the one that's going to get off that team. But we'll see how it goes in the offseason. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But the Warriors are the team that's geared up to be in the finals now. You know how LeBron went to 7 straight? It seems like they're on their way to be going on for 7 straight. In a tougher West, they've already been to 3 straight finals, and it doesn't look like they're going to stop. And all those guys are in their prime. They're all under 30.
That's the big
Draymond, Klay are young. Steph is going to sign that max deal. If Durant takes a little less money, they'll be able to sign Livingston and Iguodala with their bird rights.
And I do like the coincidence of how the first championship Braun ever got was first Durant. And it was with his super team in Miami. And then the first championship Durant gets, it's first LeBron with his first ring and his first super team. So it's kind of cool. A quick question. Do you compare Durant leaving with LeBron at all? Or how is it different?
They both left to get championships, that's what they said, right? They both went to teams where they thought they had a better chance.
How do you feel about
chance.
LeBron saying he wasn't with a super team? He doesn't believe
that's a lie. Come on, man. We know maybe he hasn't started it. Okay, but he's played on a super team. You're telling me in 2010 when LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Wade signed in Miami, they weren't in their primes? That wasn't a super team. That's a super team. He compares. He's like, he didn't start it because Barkley joined Clyde and Hakeem and Houston. But Barkley was 33 when he signed with Houston.
He played four years,
and he was only an all-star for that first season. And outside of his rookie year, those 4 years were the time where he averaged the least points. Barkley, he didn't even play a lot. I think out of those 4 years, one season he played like 60-something games. Last year was 20 games.
For sure,
he was out of his prime. And then Carmelo was 40 years old when he signed with the Lakers.
So it's same Gary Payton.
Gary Payton was 34, 35. So those guys are out of their prime. I get they're big names, but they were out of their prime. LeBron, Chris Bosh, and D-Wade were all in their prime, and they went to 4 straight finals, winning 2 in Miami. And then he comes to Cleveland. He has a young Kyrie Irving, who's a baller, who could score the basketball, who's entering his prime, and then all-star Kevin Love, who's doing damage in Minnesota. You're telling me that's not a super team with everything you've added around with the great role players, with Tristan Thompson?
Yeah.
Who's a rebounding machine.
Of course. And then, like, if you're adding guys like Korver now and
shooters to better your game, Darren Williams, Iman Shumpert, J.R. Smith, those are not good players?
Yeah. No, you can't.
He's definitely played on super teams.
I think this Cleveland team's way better than those Miami teams, though.
Yes, they have more options.
You know,
the Miami teams have a lot of vets. Like, 1 year they had Mike Bibby. You know,
Haslam was still on that team.
Haslam was on those teams. I'm trying to remember who else they had. Juwan Howard was on the first two. And then they had Mario Chalmers, who contributed good minutes. You know, Mike Miller.
Miller
he scored 7 3-pointers, I think it was, in that game 5 against OKC.
Yeah. So, you're right. So
the Cleveland teams have, I think, better complementary players to his game than Miami. Well, the salary cap has gone up as well, so that helps.
Yeah, totally. And obviously that's why the Warriors had that cap space to sign Durant. I think the difference was that Durant was joining a team that was already made, right? And that's like the big
thing. Yeah, coming off 73 wins, you can't beat him, join him. Of course, it's not the greatest thing, but they signed one free agent, Kevin Durant.
Yeah, well, Iguodala was signed to what? He was signed
4 years
in 2012, 2013?
Yeah, 12. He was signed the first year that I think they got bounced in the first or second round.
By San Antonio.
And then they went to 3 straight finals.
Yeah.
winning too, and he has a finals MVP. So they signed him, they signed Livingston, but those were good role players that they signed. But their main core was drafted, and Draymond and Klay and Steph.
Yeah, oh yeah,
right?
that was an organically built team. And I think another thing to hate LeBron for on this anyway is how he did it, the decision. The kind of how he left Cleveland and all that stuff, you know. So that was another thing where Durant didn't do it. He did it clean. He met with a few teams and he decided to go with the Warriors.
Yeah, but then there was the whole talk after Game 7 where Draymond called him or texted him and he's like, I'm ready to join you and everything. But that's going to be the discussion this summer.
Yeah,
this offseason is going to be busy, obviously, for Cleveland. LeBron needs to get back to the finals. He has a streak of 7 in a row.
LeBron called after Game 5.
Who he's going to get on his team.
He's
in the discussion.
Now.
Yeah, the discussion is going to be super teams leading up to next season. We'll chat next with Keith Smart to see what other teams are doing this offseason on 3 and a Key.
LeBron, to me, feels like he is Cleveland. Even in Miami, he felt like a temporary, a temp, a visitor. So I think Cleveland's the place for him.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Hello and welcome back inside the Key. Elias Alzain alongside just Will Macklin today. And we're happy to be joined by Keith Smith, contributor to Real GM, FanRag Sports, Celtics Blog, and host of the NBA Front Office Show on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Yeah, it does a lot. Keith also on the network, like our podcast, and he joins us now. How's it going, Keith?
It's going great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no doubt. Obviously, the NBA has wrapped up, and Cleveland lost in 5. What is the biggest need for this team to try to contend with the Warriors, who don't seem like they could be stopped?
Gee, that's a tough and potentially long list. to start with, they need to get better defensively. Otherwise, they're just not really going to have a chance to hang in there. If they can't defend the Warriors, they're really going to struggle. And that's a big challenge, and I don't know where they get that, because for the Cavs to improve their roster, they're probably going to have to look at trading some of their guys, and only a handful of their guys have a lot of value. So that becomes very tricky for them to pull off.
Who's most likely to go?
If I had to say who's most likely to go, and I don't think that this guy's overly likely, but I would say it's probably Kevin Love. And that would be a tough pill to swallow, but I think he has the most value, or can return the most value. Obviously, LeBron James would have the most value, followed by Kyrie Irving. But those guys probably aren't going anywhere. So out of the ones who might go, I would say it's probably Kevin Love.
You know, Paul George came out recently. He said he's under contract for this year and he's a Pacer. Do you see that? That's a name that's been tossed around a lot lately, Paul George to Cleveland. Do you think that's enough, you know, Kevin Love for Paul George? You know, if I'm in the Pacers front office, I don't like that move. I think you need more. And like you said, there isn't a lot of guys who have value on that team. But do you see that as a likely option or possibility for Paul George to join the Cleveland Cavaliers?
I don't, only because I think they would have to involve a third team. I can't see the Pacers wanting to take on Kevin Love, and it's not that Kevin Love's not an extremely good player. He is. But the challenge is the Pacers, if they trade Paul George, they're going to be going right into a rebuild. And when you're rebuilding, you don't need a guy like Kevin Love on your cap sheet. And while he would help you on the floor, he's not going to help you enough to be a playoff team. So at that point, it's best to just move on and head in a different direction.
Okay, moving on out west with the Golden State Warriors. Obviously, Curry, Durant, along with Livingston and Iguodala are free agents. Those are the big names. Do you see Kevin Durant taking a little bit of a pay cut so they can re-sign Livingston and Iguodala with just straight-up bird rights? And because, you know, we know Curry, who's been underpaid for the last 4 years, two-time MVP, including unanimous, obviously two rings, he's going to get his max deal and he deserves it. But do you see Durant taking a little less money to manage those guys to come back in and have the whole team heading in for next season, possibly a repeat?
I do. I think he will take a little bit less than what he could get as a max free agent this year. He is going to opt out, but it seems like then he will take slightly less than what he could make at the top end of his range, and that would be to allow them to bring back, at a minimum, Andre Iguodala. Sean Livingston, unfortunately, he may be a casualty. He may just be priced out of the roster, and it may be time for him to move on. I'm not sure exactly how much tax the ownership wants to pay, and they are going to max out Steph Curry, as you said. The owner already said it. They're going to give him that full max. He does qualify for the designated player veteran extension, so he's going to get $200+ million over 5 years.
Is there any unrestricted free agents that come to mind right now that maybe want to go to Golden State? Obviously, everybody would like to Golden State. They haven't called me yet, but I think like anybody that's on that free agent list that maybe want to sneak in over there. Maybe JJ might want to go over there. Maybe Waiters is an option player. I don't know if they'll take the option over there, but yeah, there's so many different options from 2017. This free agent list. Who do you think will go?
Yeah, no, it's not going to be anybody that big. The challenge is the Warriors won't have any money to pay anybody like that. They'll be limited to using their exceptions to pay guys, and that's not going to be enough for a guy like J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick's looking for probably what's likely to be his first and last big contract. So a guy like him is not going to go there. So what you'll see is highly unlikely they add anyone of that is thought at the time to be a major signing. It'll be more of the veteran-type signings, like a David West, like what they did this past year, who, incidentally, I do think will be back with the Warriors to try and help them defend this title. But that's what it's going to be. It's going to be veterans like that help fill out the roster. They're not going to land anybody big. They just don't have the ability to do that like they did last summer.
I really hope Vince Carter goes then.
Joined
That'd
by...
be interesting. He could fill a role, especially if a guy like Livingston left. He could go there on a minimum type contract and fill a role as a bench guy.
Joined by Keith Smith here on 3 and the Key, host of the NBA Front Office show on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Staying in California, but heading down south. Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, Will brought up J.J. Redick. They're all free agents for the Clippers. They made a big splash already this offseason, bringing in Jerry West from the Warriors as an advisor. Is there a possibility? I know there is, obviously, but what would you rate it, like, percentage-wise? All three come back. I don't think personally Redick does, because they're not going to want to pay him the contract that he wants. But Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, do you see them both coming back, or do you see one signing elsewhere?
Yeah, I just finished writing the Clippers offseason preview for Real GM, and it should post within the next few days. We're obviously taping this on a Saturday, so hopefully it'll post by the beginning to middle of the week. One of the things I say in there is I do think J.J. Redick's going to be the one who moves on if they retain Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. And if they lose Griffin and Paul, he's going to move on anyway, because that means that they're rebuilding, and he's not going to want to stick around and be a part of a rebuild. He's at the point in his career where he wants to win, so he's going to move on. And what the challenge is Chris Paul, if he stays with the Clippers, he's getting a contract that starts at $35 million a year. If Blake Griffin stays, he's getting a contract that starts at just over $30 million a year. Once you're at those kind of numbers, there's not a whole heck of a lot you can do around that team. You're going to completely cap that team out for the foreseeable future around those two guys and DeAndre Jordan, and it is what it is. I think there's the potential. It could be time for the Clippers to break up and all go their separate ways. While that'd be a huge hit in the short term, I think that might be ultimately what's best for this team long term, because I think they've maxed out their potential as a group.
Yeah, and where would you see Chris Paul going? I know he was going to sign with Houston the last time he was a free agent before they brought in Doc Rivers. And he said he's going to meet with them and the Nuggets. Which one would you give the edge to?
I would
or San Antonio.
One of those teams. Yeah, it'd be San Antonio.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the team. I think if he's going to go anywhere, it's going to be San Antonio. The Spurs will have to get creative with creating enough space to make that happen. But between R.C. Buford and Greg Popovich, they'll do what they need to do. If it means getting Chris Paul, they'll find a way to make enough space to get Chris Paul.
And most likely spot for Blake? In my head, I think, but going back to Oklahoma, maybe help out Westbrook there. But what's another likely spot for Blake?
Yeah, again, so the Thunder, they're capped out. They have extensions that start this summer for Victor Oladipo and Steven Adams, both north of $20 million a year, as well as they did the renegotiation and extend for Russell Westbrook. So he's up around, I believe it's $28 million off the top of my head. So they just don't have any cap space. They also need to figure out if they're going to retain Andre Roberson or not, and it'll be dependent on what they want to do. So it's just not there. Now, they could maybe do a trade, a sign-and-trade, to get Blake to come in, but we would see. The Celtics are going to push hard for Blake Griffin. They're going to go after him and make another run at him, pending what happens with Gordon Hayward, or even if something good happens with Hayward, they may still make another run at Blake Griffin to see, because they see him as a good fit up front with Al Horford, and it would be a very versatile front court. So we'll see. Griffin is probably the most likely one to stay in L.A. He's got a lot of things outside of basketball in Los Angeles, so he could still be around, but he definitely is probably one of the bigger free agents to watch this summer.
Moving up north to Toronto, who's been bounced out of the playoffs the last 2 years by Cleveland. They got a big free agent in Kyle Lowry at the point guard position, who obviously wants the maximum contract. What do you think the Raptors have to do in general? Do they re-sign Kyle Lowry? I mean, I think you have to, just because what you've built in Toronto. They haven't had a winning franchise in their existence, basically. We know that because we watched them very closely.
Yeah.
But what do they got to do to try to compete with the Cavs and stay at the top of the East, and maybe hopefully 1 year move on to the NBA Finals?
Yeah, they're going to have to get lucky and hope that the Cavs step back. And Kyle Lowry is really an interesting case. He's a very, very good player. But he's also on the older end. So if you commit to him for what would ultimately be, if he gets the max, it's 5 years over $200 million, that's a contract that could be extremely ugly by the end of it. They've also got Serge Ibaka as a free agent, P.J. Tucker as a free agent, and Patrick Patterson as a free agent. So four key rotation players, including two starters, all as free agents. That's tough. If they re-sign all those guys, Toronto's looking at a pretty big tax bill. And that is something that, you know, we don't really know. Ownership has said that they would do that, right? It's the, what is it, Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment that owns them.
Yeah.
They've said that they would pay, but they've never been really faced with paying, so we don't exactly know if they would or not. So it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out in the long run there. I do think that they'll retain Lowry and Ibaka. I'm not so sure about Tucker and Patterson.
The other team in the East that's probably going to be the most competitive to Cleveland, I think. They got the number one pick this year coming up next week, Thursday, as the draft. But we mentioned it a little bit here with Hayward maybe coming over there. So many different things that Boston could do this offseason, because Danny Ainge, you know, anything can happen with this guy. What's most likely to happen for the Celtics?
Well, as we're recording this on Saturday night, June 17th, there's rumors that they may be trading that number one overall pick to the Philadelphia 76ers for a package that would include the third overall pick and then some other future picks. Now, there's a couple motivations for the Celtics with that. One is obviously to return a pretty big package in a draft where some reports are they don't feel that strongly that Markelle Fultz is that much better than the player that they could get at three. There is also the idea of the number three pick gets paid less than the number one pick, so it helps ease the salary concerns of opening a max salary slot for a guy like Gordon Hayward or Blake Griffin or whoever else, and then they could potentially package those assets that they get together to go out and get a star and a really win-now player. Whether they do all that, that starts to get into, I like to say, and I've been saying all day to people, that starts to get into the world of NBA 2K, where you're starting to string together things that don't really seem realistic. But we'll just have to see. You know, Danny Ainge is not afraid to swing for the fences and make a big trade. He's done it several times with the Celtics, and maybe it's just time for that next go-around.
Maybe get the sliders up. Get those 2K sliders up.
Right, maybe. And only on the Cavs. Bring Eric down, right?
Exactly. And we talk about, you know, Markelle Fultz, and at the player at three would be Josh Jackson. But do you see the Lakers coming in at number two and maybe swiping him out of there? Because they said that they've been interested in him as well.
Yeah, I really don't. I really continue to believe that if Markelle Fultz is off the board, which all indications are he will be, that the Lakers are going to draft Lonzo Ball. I haven't been told anything that makes me believe otherwise. So until they don't, that's going to be the pick I believe that's there. But I'm not sold that Josh Jackson is the guy for the Celtics at three. I think that there's a chance that the Boston Celtics could go with Jason Tatum. Danny Ainge is known to like him. He actually fits maybe just a little bit better as far as what Boston needs with his ability to play both the three and the four. And we'll just have to see which direction they go. And there's always the potential they don't even keep that pick.
Yeah, and it's going to be an interesting week leading up to that draft. Keith Smith, contributor to Real GM, FanRag Sports, Celtics blog, and host of the NBA Front Office show on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us Inside the Key. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
Thanks, man.
With the first pick in the 2016 NBA Draft, the Philadelphia 76ers select Ben Simmons from Melbourne, Australia, and Louisiana State University. With the second pick in the 2016 NBA Draft, the Los Angeles Lakers select Brandon Ingram from Duke University. With the third pick in the 2016 NBA Draft, the Boston Celtics select Jaylen Brown from the University of California, Berkeley.
Welcome back to Three in the Key.
Hello, welcome back inside the key. Elias Alzane alongside Will Macklin only this week.
I'm still pretty good, though.
Yeah, we're great. Come on now.
I mean, well, that's for sure.
I mean, we're better with Dave and Fuad, of course.
Yeah, and you're not even 100%, and we're
I'm
better.
Not even 100%, but you know, like Jordan in the flu game.
Yeah, that's what this is
right
now.
You know, this is it. I'm going to come on and hit that big shot. Great segment there with Keith Smith.
Awesome.
Of our network, telling us what he expects, or answering our question to what we think is going to happen. It's going to be an interesting offseason.
Yeah, we're
really
stoked.
This one, I'm looking forward to see. Now the NBA knows what the Warriors are and what they can do.
Yeah.
So I want to see how everyone else responds.
I'm trying to adapt to that.
Exactly, moving forward in the NBA game. And now we get an appearance, a cameo by the professor. He's going to tell us who he has going in the draft this Thursday, the top 14 picks. So those are the lottery teams.
Yeah.
And here is the professor.
With the first overall pick, I predict the Boston Celtics to take Markel Fultz out of Washington, who had a remarkable freshman season, averaging 23 points, nearly 6 rebounds, and 6 assists per game. It's a slam dunk with the first overall pick. He can play the 1 or the 2. He fits the needs of the Boston Celtics, and pretty much the consensus among scouts that he will go first overall. With the number 2 pick, I have the Los Angeles Lakers picking, guess who? Lonzo Ball. I think it's a big charade they're doing with the media. I think he's the guy they wanted from day one. Take the local guy, the future star, and build around him and just get his dad as far away from the arena as possible. With the number 3 pick, I have the Philadelphia 76ers continuing their rebuild, taking versatile wing and defensive specialist Josh Jackson from Kansas. Remarkable year defensively. Obviously a very strong Kansas team. And he gives the Sixers versatility, and it allows Ben Simmons to be their primary ball handler, which will make them a special team going forward. With the 4th pick, I have the Phoenix Suns taking Jonathan Isaac. Again, another versatile forward, can play the 3 or the 4. Really gives a number of different options on a team that doesn't really need a guard, with Eric Bledsoe running the show and Tyler Ulis coming off the bench. With the 5th pick, the Sacramento Kings, who have 2 picks in the top 10, I have them picking De'Aaron Fox. And this is a slide. I think he's better than the 5th pick in this draft. Just based on need, I think Sacramento's going to hit a home run with their 5th overall pick. With the 6th pick, I have Orlando taking Jason Tatum. The Duke star had a very strong year this year. 17 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists a game. Took a while to get going, but a lot of people see him as the best offensive wing in this year's draft. With the 7th pick, I have the Minnesota Timberwolves taking Lauri Markkanen from Arizona. An incredible shooter from outside, very high 3-point range. Really will change the dynamic of their front court between him and Karl Anthony Towns. I see the two of them as twin towers. Just a fantastic attack coming out of Minnesota after this draft if they go that route. The New York Knicks, a lot of people talking about this pick. Who are they going to take? They need a guard following Derrick Rose. How about Frank Ntilikina? Practice that one. It's going to be one you're going to be saying for years. He's going to be the point guard of the future for the New York Knicks at the 8th pick out of France. With the 9th pick, Dennis Smith Jr., another great point guard, going to the Dallas Mavericks. Kind of an under-the-radar player this year because his team didn't make the tournament in North Carolina State. Had a very strong year, including a couple triple-doubles with the Wolfpack, but it's hard to say where this guy will actually end up going. There are people saying he could go as high as 3 and as low as 10, but I see him going to 9 with the Dallas Mavericks. With the 10th pick, Malik Monk out of Kentucky. It's hard to believe he slides this far after the season he had, the second highest Kentucky freshman scorer of all time, but I see him going to number 10 with Sacramento. Imagine that backcourt together. De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk could be special for the Sacramento Kings. Good way to start your rebuild. With the 11th pick, the Charlotte Hornets, I have them selecting Zach Collins out of Gonzaga, a guy that really made a name for himself in the tournament. I see the 10th pick is the beginning of a drop-off in this draft, where the skill level will drop off a little bit, but Zach Collins is a versatile two-way player who can play defense and play offense. He can play power forward or center for the Hornets and gives them some options up front. With the 12th overall pick, I have the Detroit Pistons taking Justin Jackson out of North Carolina, the national championship team. He had a fantastic year this year, really came into his own, leading the team in scoring with 18 points a game and was a real difference maker in the tournament. With the 13th pick, the Denver Nuggets, I have them taking Harry Giles out of Duke. Now, the reason I have Giles going to Denver is because they have so many young, talented players right now. They can afford to take a project and stash him for the next couple of years. Giles is a perfect guy for that, and he could run that athletic game that Jokic runs so well as their primary ball handler. And with the 14th pick, you know that the Miami Heat love dynamic wing players. Well, OG Anunoby out of Indiana looks like a perfect fit for the Heat. That's how the draft lottery stacks up. I'm the professor. Back to 3 in the key.
What did you think of that?
Well, I like it. I think it's a good point by him when he talked about the Lakers. Maybe just this is all kind of smoky mirrors here with kind of wanting to pick Josh Jackson and actually going with Lonzo and picking the L.A. kid, you know, and I don't know what that backcourt looks like now with D'Angelo. I mean, you probably have way obviously more interest in that being a Laker fan, but I mean, the defense isn't there. But, you know, the IQ on this kid, I mean, I watched him all year at UCLA, and I thought he did very well. And
I think he's a really good player. He put up great numbers. Honestly, I would like Fultz probably my number one, but it seems like he's going first overall to the Celtics,
right,
who seem like they're going to trade him to Philly. Like all those conversations are happening. We talked to Keith about that as well earlier in the show. Fultz would be my number one. Ball would probably be my number two, and then Fox would be my number three because I want a point guard.
He went up, eh? Fox, that game versus Lonzo.
Yeah. And he wanted to shut up LaVar. But speaking of Alonzo, did you see that commercial, that Foot Locker commercial?
So good.
Oh, how great was that?
That was so funny.
Oh, that was hilarious.
I know that was classic. I
think I'm one of the, I don't know if I'm one of the few, but a lot of people seem like if you draft Lonzo Ball, you got to trade D'Angelo. But I don't want to do that. I want to take Ball, if they do take Ball, and play him alongside D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah,
I think that could work.
No, I think so too. I don't care. I don't know why you can't. Maybe, I mean, I'm sure Walton will figure it out. But as far as like picking up the pace and running gun, I think those two are great for that, you know. And then coming off the
they both
long rebound,
pass.
Going back the other way, that's crazy. So I don't know how D'Angelo feels though about not being the primary ball handler though.
But he's gonna get more shots.
Yeah, which he'd want obviously.
Score more points because he could shoot it. He's one of the very few guys that shoot it well on that team from beyond the arc, right? It's going to be a very interesting Thursday night in the NBA, especially for that draft. I like what Dave said about Sacramento at 5 and 10. If Fox falls that far,
yeah,
they take him at 5, and then Malik Monk at 10. There you have a Kentucky Wildcat backcourt in Sacramento.
That would be Dave's new favorite team.
That would probably be Dave's favorite team.
After getting rid of Buggy and then taking on two more Wildcats. He'd be all in on that team.
he would be, which would be hilarious. I think he has Lauri Markkanen going a little high.
Yeah, well, I've seen a lot of drafts, and he goes outside of 10 for sure. I've seen Charlotte maybe looking at him as well. So yeah, I don't. He likes Lauri. He's a big
Arizona guy.
And he likes Wildcats.
he does like Wildcats, and he likes just college basketball in general. So it's just interesting to see every year how he comes up with what the lottery teams think they're going to do in his picks for Thursday night. I know he's going to be gearing up, and he's going to be happy for and excited for that draft.
But do you think any trades happen whatsoever?
Well, right now, you know, when we just spoke with Keith, and it seems like everyone is saying they'd be shocked if Philly and Boston doesn't go through. And I think that'd be very interesting. Boston really wants to gear up and challenge the Cavs. You know, they went to the East Final. They lost in five. Isaiah Thomas got injured, obviously, after game two.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. If they can get a player in this draft that's another young guy, if they can go out and get like a Gordon Hayward or trade for a Jimmy Butler, and you have an Al Horford and Isaiah Thomas, so you have the vets and you have that young talent.
They got their own super team developing.
Exactly. And Danny Ainge is a guy who's known to go out and make those big trades. You know, a couple years ago, when they were rebuilding, he went out and got Ray Allen and KG, and they did that. And then when he got rid of them, he collected assets and slowly built his way back in. And they've been making the playoffs. And now the East Final with what they have. And it's funny because Doc hasn't even been able to get to the West Final out with the Clippers, while the Celtics have beaten him to it and honestly have a better team.
Would you think him? Just like even Fultz going to the Sixers would be incredible too, just to see that team.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless they pick a center. That's in play, obviously.
Yeah, but hopefully he doesn't redshirt.
It has to be the classic Sixers redshirt, right?
Yeah,
I'm sure he'll get hurt in Vegas at Summer League or something.
You know, hopefully he doesn't, but
but imagine that. He brings up the ball, or who would be the ball handler there? Would it be Simmons?
I think Simmons, but it gives you an option, right? You're gonna have two guys there, right? Simmons would probably be number one because he is like that point forward and he's huge. He's huge. He's like 6'9", 6'10".
The passes, man. He's kind of magic-esque with those passes.
I'm waiting. I can't wait for him to play, see Simmons along with Embiid. And if they do take Fultz, like if he gets
Sixers
traded there.
Will become that team where everyone, you know, this kind of like the next year's Timberwolves, where everyone's like, Timberwolves are on the up. And like nothing really got going with the Wolves. I think that might happen with the Sixers, especially depending on how much Embiid plays, right? And I'm not sure what Okafor is doing there on that team still. So there's a lot of options. But man, this is going to be a fun draft. I don't think I've sat through a couple of drafts before, and I think because of Dave's influence, I've gotten more into the draft March Madness style. You know, I only knew like UCLA guys and a couple of big names from the tournament, and now I kind of know the first 14 really and what kind of needs there are. And
yeah, and it's just going to be interesting to see where they all fall that night. I try to stay off Twitter because one probably.
One, probably maybe two. I've seen two.
Jason Tatum is going to go, and Luke Kennard, probably those two.
Yeah,
they might even both go in the lottery.
That'd be crazy, right?
Yeah, but I stay off Twitter that night because you know the picks are set before the commissioner comes out and announces them.
Are they really?
Yeah, Adrian Wojnarowski usually tweets out this team is taking this guy. So I stay off Twitter because I want that excitement for when the commissioner comes out and says it.
How many minutes does it have before?
Like a minute, maybe 30 seconds. A minute, probably.
How does Woj know that?
It's interesting, but he does for some reason.
Yeah, you got to say, maybe just unfollow him for the night, maybe?
Yeah, but no, I just stay off Twitter.
People will retweet him, though.
Yeah, and I'll just, once the pick happens, then I'll go on Twitter and see other reaction and stuff like that.
True,
then get off Twitter right before the next pick.
That in-between time of, of when they're on the clock.
Exactly. No, it's going to be very interesting to see where all the guys go, what trades happen, if any happen, on draft night. So it's going to be very, very interesting. If you had to give one prediction, Will, what do you think? Someone blows out a trade.
I think is that Lonzo Ball is not drafted by the Lakers.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I think they really want. Okay. They like the Josh Jackson.
It's true. I don't know if I have to give a prediction what it would be, but
it'd be interesting. I don't know, how would DeAndre land in Phoenix? Maybe would that be? That'd be huge. I think Booker and him together, that'd be cool. So there's a lot. I mean, even like, and then maybe, or even like have Lonzo fall to Phoenix.
That far, eh? That's a four?
Yeah. So Lonzo Phoenix with Booker. And then LeVar has to buy a house in Arizona.
To watch his kid play. No, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what Magic and Rob Pelinka have in mind for the number two slot.
If ball goes to Lakers, though, I will order a number two. I'll get the old school, the 3D2 yellow Lakers jersey.
Really? Ball?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you said it here on the podcast for yourself and myself and Dave, who made a cameo here in this segment. Fuad, we're not impressed, man. You didn't make a cameo, man.
Pretty brutal.
Yeah, but not for you in spirit,
yeah.
For all of us here in the key, peace.
Klay Thompson, yeah. Splash Brothers, yeah. Cavaliers, nope. We won, yeah. They suck, yeah.